Happy Easter. I am Pastor Carlene Nisley from New Vision Fellowship in Hillsboro, Oregon. This Easter, I am coming to you from my couch in my living room in my home because we are sheltering in place. The way we do Easter this year, the how we do Easter this year, is different than anything we've done before. But the why we do Easter never changes. I got together with four other lead pastors from Free Methodist churches around Oregon. We met in a Zoom room and have been talking over email, and we have put together an Easter service celebration that will follow this introduction. We want you to watch it with new eyes and new perspective. We want you to watch it with your friends, to share it, but mostly what we want you to do is to find the hope for why we celebrate Easter and rejoice with us as you listen to the Easter message that's done a little bit differently, but done differently so that we can make a difference. God bless you. It was really early in the morning on the first day of the week. We wanted to do it on Friday. We bought the spices to anoint his body and we were ready, but then it got too late and the sun went down and we had to observe the Sabbath. So we got up early, before dawn, but didn't set out until the sun had come up. The Sabbath had ended. And let me see, it was Mary Magdalene and Joanne and me and some other women. My son James, he stayed back with the rest of the disciples. We were walking to the tomb and we were so sad. We loved him so much, but we wanted to make sure that he was anointed properly for his burial. We were a little worried that we couldn't move the stone, that it would be too heavy, but we decided that we weren't going to let anything stop us. So we got to the tomb and we were shocked to see that the stone had been moved. It was like it had been moved for us. But before we could go any further, two men appeared to us and they weren't like ordinary men. In fact, they were shining like lightning, and we got really frightened. And so we fell to the ground, and we bowed before them. And then they said something to us. They said, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Don't you remember what he said to you in Galilee?" And then we did remember. We remembered that he said that he would have to be handed over to sinners and crucified, and that he would rise again in 3 days. And so then we realized Jesus was alive. Jesus was alive. And so we got up off the ground as fast as we could, and we ran, and we were laughing, and we were crying, and we were running, and we were breathless. We were breathless by the time we got back to the disciples. But we told the 11, we told them and the others what we had seen, that the stone had rolled away, that two men that were really bright and shiny appeared to us, that they talked to us, and that Jesus was alive. And the disciples said that we sounded like we were talking nonsense, and I can kind of understand that. We were out of breath. We couldn't stop hugging each other. We were still laughing and crying simultaneously. But I said to them, "If you don't believe us, then come follow me. I'll show you the way to get back to the tomb, and you'll see that it's empty. But a couple of the disciples just ran out of the door. And I reminded everyone who was there what he said to us when he was with us. He always reminded us to come follow him. He literally said, come follow me. It's the most amazing, surprising, happiest day of my life.
Oh, come on. John, what is that? Where is he? What? Hey, when the girls told us that he was gone and they talked to someone, I didn't believe them. They were talking so fast, it just was nonsense. It was confusing and I had to see for myself. And now that he's gone, what do we do? Where'd he go? I just saw him like yesterday. Put him in the tomb. And now he's not even here? What does this mean? He told us to follow him. He told you to follow him, John. He told me. How do we follow a dead guy? Where are we gonna go next? Where are you going? I don't know where to go.
It was a terrible day. Friday, they had taken our master, our rabbi, and they had crucified him on a cross. And so, we didn't know what to do. Cleo and I, my friend, we headed to Emmaus. It was about 11 kilometers away. And it took us a while. And as we're walking and talking, we're talking about all the experiences we've had with this Jesus, Master. We started following him and believing some of what he was saying. And then he started healing the sick and casting out demons and walking on water and doing amazing things. And so as we're walking, this man shows up and he's talking to us and he's asking us, what are you guys talking about? And so we tell him, and he had not heard about the events at all. And so Cleo looks at him and says, are you kidding? You haven't heard about how the rulers and the authorities, the chief priests, had taken this man Jesus and put him on a cross and crucified him? And you hadn't heard anything about this? And we had told this man, Cleo and I told this man, we were hoping that this Jesus was going to redeem Israel, and now he's dead. Well, we started walking again, and this man, he started telling us that we were foolish to not believe. Now, wait a minute. He just told us that he didn't know anything about the events, and then he starts telling us that we were foolish and we didn't believe and we should have faith. And then he continues on to tell us about how the prophets and Moses had said all of this stuff in the past in the scriptures and had pointed to this actual day this Messiah or this Jesus was supposed to be killed and supposed to rise from the dead and go into glory. And so we were amazed and baffled and confused. And so he continues, this man walking with us continues to tell us about all this stuff. And so as we're walking, we finally arrive at Emmaus, and we're so intrigued by this man. We ask him, we say, "Hey, come up and have supper with us and tell us more." And so he comes up to where we were going to stay, and we put the supper on the table, and he grabs the bread and he breaks it and he gives thanks. And all of a sudden, our eyes are opened and we realize that it was Jesus. It was the Messiah, the one that was going to be, that was crucified on Friday. And then, oh my goodness, it's Jesus. And then he vanished. And I looked over at Cleo and I said, "Oh my goodness, that is, he is, he." And our hearts burned with hope. And so I said to Cleo, I said, "Hey, we need to go back to Jerusalem and we need to tell everybody about what we just heard and experienced." And so we left and we ran as fast as we could back to Jerusalem to tell everybody about what we had just seen and heard. It was amazing. I remember when Jesus came to my hometown and invited me to follow him. I didn't know where it was going to take me, but I chose to follow him, and then it's true. He is the Messiah. Come, follow him.
So there I was with the other disciples as these two men were telling us about how Jesus had appeared to them on the road to Emmaus. And all of a sudden, Jesus was here with all of us. At first, we thought we'd seen a ghost. "Peace be with you," he said. "Why are you afraid? Why are you full of such worry? It's me, Jesus. I'm no ghost. See my hands and my feet? Touch my body so that you know that it's real." We didn't know what to think. I was filled with such joy to be able to see him again. What now, I wondered. And then he said the strangest thing. He said, "Do any of you have something to eat?" Do we have something to eat? Well, turns out we did have some leftover broiled fish. And so he sat and ate it and we just watched. And then he turned to us and he said, "All those scriptures had to be fulfilled. You know my story. The Messiah had to come and to die and to be raised from the dead 3 days later. That's our message of hope and repentance, that anybody who would turn and follow me would be forgiven of their sins and have a new life." He looked at me and he said, "But wait here for now in the city, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit towards you." I sat there bursting with excitement to be in the presence of my Lord again. He ate fish and he talked to us about our fears and our worries and reminded us of all that happened up till this point, that everything God had planned was now taking place. And the great message of hope that we now carry, and how that message is supposed to go out to the whole world. I didn't know what to say. The only question I could think of, the only thing I could think is, what now? He said to wait, and that he was going to send the Holy Spirit. But how do we follow you now, Lord? I'll never forget when you came to me and said, Peter, come follow me. Show me how to follow now. Help us to spread this message of hope and life to the entire world. Come, follow me.
Wow, what an incredible day. I just can't believe what has happened. From the moment the women came back and shared with us that the tomb of Jesus was empty and that they'd actually met two angels who said that Jesus was risen from the dead. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe it as I heard the story being told to me. But then later on, we hear from two more who say that they actually encountered Jesus and interacted with him as they were walking on the road to Emmaus. And now, as we're gathered together, as we were contemplating these things and marveling at all that has happened, of all that we've heard, Jesus came himself. I couldn't believe it. I was stunned, absolutely amazed. But there he was. And again, we interacted. He explained the scriptures to us. He helped us understand what was going on and what the purpose and meaning of his life was. And now, a most incredible thing. I can't even explain it really. But as we're with Jesus, he takes us out and he ascends up to heaven. I mean, how do you describe that? It's so unbelievable, so remarkable. And now here I am, contemplating these events, thinking about how all of us are on this journey through life. Some of us, like the women, were looking for something and we go to find it. They were looking for Jesus, but Jesus wasn't there. And sometimes we're looking for some meaning, some purpose, and we go here and we go there, but we don't find what we're looking for. Those things can't satisfy us. They don't meet that deep need of our heart. And then, like others, we're just kind of walking along, and we're just kind of despairing about life. We feel hopeless. And yet Jesus wants to come and walk alongside of you and help you make sense of this crazy life. And I just want to encourage you, you're on a journey of some kind. We're on a journey. Jesus commissioned us. One of the things he said was that we're to go and to be witnesses of all that he's done and of who he is. And I invite you to go on the journey with Jesus. You can try all these other things. You can try, you know, and so many things even now have been stripped away from us. Things that we look to meet our need, to satisfy us, and we can't even do those things. But Jesus is here. Jesus comes alongside of you. So I want to ask you, where are you going? Everybody, you know, as we look at what happened today, there was so much movement, so much activity, but where are you going? Are you journeying with Jesus? Are you moving towards Jesus in life? Eventually, are you going to move from this life to heaven? I just invite you today, move towards Jesus. Invite Jesus into your heart, this resurrected living God. Invite him into your heart today and join him in heaven when this life is over.